Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 38 degrees under fair skies. Today's Thursday, February 9th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka School Board is looking for your help to figure out its 2013 budget. The board will hold a public hearing on its operating budget at 7 p.m. today inside Kiku Shaheen Elementary School. Like last year, the district has to make up a deficit before mid-March when the budget is submitted to the city. Lon Garrison is the school board president.
If we were to just roll forward our entire budget and not dip into our reserves, not do anything else other than what we are doing today, we have a $1.2 million deficit.
The school board has already said it will move $500,000 out of its reserve account. That will help narrow the gap to $700,000.
That $700,000 has to be made up somewhere. Is it going to be made up in federal funding? Well, we're not accounting for any more secure rural schools in our budget. Last year we had it in our budget because we knew it was going to come through. But this year, you know, it's up for reauthorization. We can't count on it. We have to be more conservative.
Secure Rural Schools refers to a federal law that gives money to cities and school districts near national forests where a large percentage of the land has been taken off the tax rolls. Garrison spoke to KCAW from Washington, D.C., where he was attending the National Association of School Boards Conference. He said he spent some time on Capitol Hill talking with Alaska's U.S. senators about the law and the crucial funding he says it provides to the region's schools. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski is sponsoring a bill to reauthorize the act, but it's not a sure thing. Garrison says speaking with her and with Senator Mark Begich isn't about putting the issue on their radar so much as keeping it there.
It does seem like, you know, well, why are you talking to these guys? Because they're already in your corner. I think what we have to do is go and reinforce why it's so important so that they remain a staunch advocate for your position. And that's what we were trying to do with both senators.
And Garrison says just as it's important for local voices to be heard on a national level, it's also important that the community voices talk to the board about how to best close the district's budget gap.
If nobody's speaking up, then, you know, they would think, well, who cares? We'll just do what we want and we'll do what seems to work and look out for our own interests. And I don't think that's the way our democracy works, and you need to participate. And that's why I think it's especially important that the folks in the city of Sitka help participate in our budget hearings and give us some input on what they think about our budget and where it needs to go. We try to be as transparent as we possibly can and to be advocates for education.
The hearing takes place at 7 p.m. tonight at Kiku Shaheen Elementary. We'll post links to the school district's public budget packet later today on our website, kcaw.org. Thursday's budget hearing, today's budget hearing, rather, follows a regular meeting of the school board from last Tuesday. Board members recognize students for accomplishments on the swim team and in the spelling and geography bees. Board members were also recognized, including Tim Fulton, who won an Excellence in Boardsmanship Award at the State School Board Conference. The board also heard a report on community schools, which runs recreation enrichment and after-school programs. Community Schools is a $1.6 million agency with 9 full-time employees. Community Schools Director Scott McAdam says a lot of the budget comes from state and federal grants and fees it charges for some programs. It also gets about $150,000 in annual city appropriations. Fulton says he was surprised to learn just how many programs Community Schools runs.
From the swim pool to the 21st Century Grant to AmeriCorps Ventures Program, after-school activities, they got a bunch of stuff happening in this 21st Century Grant is, I think, going to be really beneficial to some of our students that are currently struggling.
The 21st Century Grant is a national program that provides money to assist students who are below proficiency levels or who come from socioeconomically disadvantaged backgrounds. It provides a place for students to do homework or take enrichment courses that help them in their day-to-day studies. Thousands of miles of low-level aerial photos from Southeast Alaska's coastline are now available to the public. The government-sponsored Shore Zone project is complete for the Panhandle. It was originally developed to aid oil spill responders and has already helped with spill containment around several grounded vessels in Southeast. But the online images are also a handy tool for scientists studying the region's plants and animals, or kayakers looking for a safe camping spot. Joe Vicnicki reports.
In 2004, the Shore Zone project started gathering helicopter video and photographs along the rocky islands and beaches of Southeast Alaska after flights along nearly 18,000 miles of coastline.
The project is complete for Southeast Alaska. All of it is imaged and mapped except for inside Glacier Bay.
That's Cindy Hartman Moore, a biologist with the National Marine Fisheries Service's Habitat Conservation Division. She helped secure funding and coordinated the project, which also involved the U.S. Forest Service, the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, and the Nature Conservancy, a nonprofit conservation group. Hartman Moore says the imagery and mapping information is all available through the NOAA Fisheries Alaska website.
You can click on a link that will take you to a map of Alaska, and you can use toolbars to go down to a portion of the state that you're interested and fly that coastline. And you can download these high-resolution photos if you want and put them on your desktop.
The videos and photographs provide a Google Street View type virtual tour of the coastline, focusing on the geological features along with plant life in the estuaries, gravel beaches, and tide flats at low tide. The website also provides a database of different plants and animals and where those species can be found around Southeast. Mandy Lindenberg, a fisheries research biologist at NOAA's lab in Auk Bay, helped do some of the survey work. She says the project produced some impressive images.
Satellite imagery is taking over the world, but that is perpendicular imagery. It flattens everything. And we purposely shoot at an oblique angle because we really want to capture that coastal zone and show all parts of it. And you get these big rock ramps that stretch out long distances, and the oblique imagery is just a bird's eye view. It's perfect.
Some of her favorite images come from areas where salt and fresh water mix with each tide.
I think in Southeast, what struck me a lot was a lot of the salt chucks. A lot of big estuary features were very impressive. A lot of salt marshes and high current areas. Those always are full of lots of marine life and biologically rich in those high current areas. So those really would get me excited.
As a scientist, Lindenberg says she's excited to use the habitat mapping to learn more about the region's plant and animal life. The company contracted to do the photographing had to work around tides and time of year when tidal plant life is blooming. John Harper, a marine geologist with Coastal Ocean Resources, describes the work.
We fly with the door off, and we fly during the lowest tides of the year, and usually fly about 6 days in a row during those really good spring low tides, the same tides that everybody marks on their calendar to dig clams.
Harper says the project chartered with Coastal Helicopters in Juneau to do the flying. To save on fuel costs, they also chartered a Ketchikan vessel to transport the helicopter to places on the outside coast. The company produced 3 million video captures and 150,000 high-resolution photos of the shoreline. He says the images capture the diversity of Southeast coasts, including evidence of Alaska's earliest inhabitants.
Old midden sites and canoe runs and some astounding fish traps along the shore. Sometimes those are stone fish traps, and sometimes they're remnants of wooden staves that are pushed into the tidal flats, so that keeps things interesting. There's always interesting wildlife, and you know, it's a fantastically diverse coast, from, you know, going from those high energy outer coasts on the outside of Chichagof Island or something, and to the more protected coasts and the glacial coasts.
Shore Zone was first introduced in British Columbia as an oil spill response tool, and it's already been used that way in Southeast Alaska. Cheryl Foltz with the Southeast Alaska Petroleum Resource Organization says the imagery can help responders place an oil containment boom around a grounded vessel.
To be able to pull up an image in the middle of the night and say, guess what, here is, looks like we can put boom around this vessel, looks like we can't, looks like there might be some sensitive areas adjacent that we need to discuss with the representatives of resource agencies. Could be a salmon stream, whatever. Additionally, once we have that background information, we're able to give our responders a really, really good map of, based on imagery, of where to put this boom.
Foltz says the Oil Spill Cooperative has already used the images to respond to several grounded fishing vessels, as well as incidents involving the state ferries. Beyond the scientific and emergency uses, the Fisheries Service's Hartman Moore says Shore Zone can help visitors to the region.
A friend of mine used it to plan their kayak trip from Juneau to Haines and mapped out where they could stop for lunch or bathroom stops. We recently had comments sent to us from people in Colorado who were going to go on a fishing trip in southern southeast Alaska and were thrilled to find this imagery available for them to use in the wintertime in Colorado and plan their summer vacation.
Shore Zone data is now online from southeast to south central Alaska, and the plan is to continue mapping the rest of the 49th state's coastline. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
You can find a picture and links to the Shore Zone project at our website, kcaw.org. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell says an initiative that would establish a coastal management program in Alaska appears to have qualified for this year's ballot. Treadwell says whether the measure appears on the primary or general election ballot depends on when the legislature adjourns and whether lawmakers pass substantially similar legislation. The legislature can preempt an initiative with substantially similar legislation. To qualify, the petition needed at least 25,875 signatures, with those coming from a certain percentage of voters in at least 30 House districts. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for rain likely. Highs around 47, east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, increasing to 20 to 25, with gusts to around 40 this afternoon. This is KCAW, Sitka.